This is common ground. At the end of this century, it may be the last colony in the world, depending on your definition of colony. It doesn't belong to England or Portugal. This last colony, which was also one of the world's first, is Puerto Rico. And the power that holds Puerto Rico today is the United States of America. This week on Common Ground, we talk to islanders about their conflicted relationship with the United States.
I am in favor of statehood because I am proud of my U.S. citizenship. I am proud of what it represents. I think the United States is a nation of nations. I want to be part of that nation, but as a partner, not as a sharecropper as we are now, not as a colony.
How are we going to mingle with the United States? About 4 million people mingling with 250 million? Very soon we're going to lose our language. Very soon we're going to lose our identity, everything. We're going to lose everything. And everybody knows that.
Commonwealth, statehood, or independence for Puerto Rico. We'll hear from all sides on this edition of Common Ground. Common Ground is produced by the Stanley Foundation. I'm Mary Gray Davidson. Ever since the United States seized Puerto Rico in 1898 following the Spanish-American War, the Caribbean island has occupied a peculiar status. It was an outright colony during the first half of this century. Then in 1952, the United States declared Puerto Rico a commonwealth, with some elements of self-rule. Up to this day, all political issues in Puerto Rico revolve around the question of its political status. There's a never-ending debate about whether Puerto Rico should remain a commonwealth, become the 51st state, or an independent nation. The debate is very emotional and complex. Islanders aren't even settled on what to call their current political status. What exactly does commonwealth mean? Well, that depends on who you ask. Most people I talk to call Puerto Rico a colony, including Puerto Rico's representative to the U.S. Congress, Carlos Romero Barceló.
In legal and constitutional terms, it is a territory. In international terms, it is a colony. We're a colony of the United States. Irrespective of the fact that the United Nations has released the United States from giving the reports it should on colonies. Our relationship is one of complete submission in terms of sovereignty to the United States. Congress has absolute authority over Puerto Rico. All of the laws that Congress passes are applied to Puerto Rico if Congress, as much as or as far as Congress desires them to be applicable to Puerto Rico. And we have no vote in Congress. Even though we're U.S. citizens, we have no representation at all, not even a speaking representation in the Senate. We have only one representative in the House, where we would have six if we were a state, but even that one that we have is not allowed to vote. We cannot vote for the president of the nation that we're citizens of. That's a colonial relationship.
Independence Party leader Senator Ruben Berrios agrees with Romero on at least that one issue.
Well, there is only one way to describe Puerto Rico's relationship with the United States. We are the last remaining colony practically the world over. We're a colony because all the main decisions that affect our everyday life are made by a foreign Congress and by a foreign president on whose election we have nothing to say. So that's the definition of a colony. Textbook definition.
Commonwealth supporters who represent the status quo tend to be more cautious in their definition of Puerto Rico's status, Senator Miguel Hernandez Agosto.
Well, we have a very special relationship with the United States. We are American citizens, but at the same time, we keep our own identity as Puerto Ricans. So here you have an instance where you have a people, you have a country, you have a very identified and identifiable people who at the same time are very much committed to democracy, liberty, and the same values that the United States stands for. So we are Latins of origin and we are Americans of citizenship, and that is, I think, the best way I can describe Puerto Rico in relation to the United States.
This past November, Puerto Rico's 3.5 million residents went to the polls to say what relationship they want with the U.S. in the future. The three choices, of course, were for statehood, independence, or to remain a commonwealth with some expanded powers. Puerto Rico's three main political parties represent each of the status formulas. Their pre-plebiscite campaign was fierce, and some unexpected allies joined in.
I want you to know one thing. The United States will welcome you with open arms.
I am certain that Puerto Rico will be welcome as a state.
If you favor statehood as I do, it's important that you vote.
Former Republican Presidents Reagan, Bush, and Ford were not the only mainland politicians advocating statehood for Puerto Rico. Here, Democratic Senator Paul Simon adds his voice to the array of television ads in a very confusing campaign.
Puerto Rico can maintain two languages. Puerto Rico can continue to preserve its culture and enrich the culture of the rest of the United States.
Tu cultura está garantizada. Vota estadidad.
That issue of language was one of the more contentious of the entire campaign, because it's so closely tied to Puerto Rico's cultural identity. Nobody in Puerto Rico wants to lose the ability to conduct daily life in Spanish, especially since fewer than half the population speaks English. Each party used the people's fears about the future of Spanish on the island to its advantage. Statehooders, though, had the most questions to answer on this issue, and like Congressman Romero Barcelo, tried to assure people that English only wouldn't be forced on Puerto Rico if it becomes a state.
No matter what laws are passed, nothing can change. Senator Bennett Johnson asked me, well, Mr. Romero, what if the country were to go off the deep end and pass some kind of a constitutional amendment saying that you only speak English? What would you do if you were a state? I said, Mr. Bennett Johnson, the senator, we will continue speaking Spanish. The 3.5 million Puerto Ricans will continue to speak Spanish. And what would the rest of the nation do? Put us in jail?
Commonwealth advocates don't want to gamble on the language issue. Commonwealth Senator Miguel Hernandez Agosto heads the party whose campaign slogan was the best of both worlds.
In statehood, you will have permanent union and American citizenship guaranteed. But you would lose your identity. Really, you have to. I mean, you have to work in such a way to have one people, a pluribus unum, of many one. And we would lose our language and our identity. In independence, you would keep and protect your identity and your language, but you would lose your American citizenship. So we say in Commonwealth, you can retain both. You can be American citizen. You can be united permanently to the United States, but at the same time, you are Puerto Rican. You have your own identity. You protect your language. You protect your national symbols like flag and national anthem and so forth.
No one in the campaign could say with any certainty how Puerto Rico would fare under any of the three formulas, but they all tried. The two parties really battling it out in this campaign for Puerto Rico's future were Commonwealth and statehood, which each won 48% and 46% of the November vote, respectively. The third option, independence, received only 4% of the vote. Though Commonwealth won this time, Independence Party leader Ruben Berrios is certain Puerto Rico will only lose under a continued Commonwealth formula.
This is a bankrupt economy which exiles 40% of our population to the United States. Second of all, from 60% to 60% of our families live off food coupons. 40% of our potential workforce is out of work. We have the highest drug addiction rate in the whole world, the highest child mistreatment rate in the whole world, and the highest criminality rate in the whole world. Puerto Rico ranks first in the world in homicides. 24 homicides for every 100,000 persons. The United States has the distinction of ranking second. It has 9.8 homicides. What does this mean? This means that colonialism in Puerto Rico breeds unemployment, means social discontent, breeds exile. We're becoming slowly a tropical ghetto because the dependent relationship with the United States makes our nation incapable of utilizing its powers in order to produce employment in Puerto Rico, in order to find our own place under the sun, and then in order for people not to revolt, the United States sends food coupons. Well, this is no future for anyone, so we need independence to survive for our own dignity and for our own economic good.
For Berríos, independence is the only option, and he's certain even if statehood were to win in a plebiscite like the one this past November, the United States would never admit Puerto Rico as the 51st state.
That's like Aunt Jemima marrying into the Rockefeller family. You know, don't make me laugh, you know. Some U.S. senators and representatives, for bad reasons, like prejudices, will oppose it. But others, for very good, honest, and honorable reasons, will oppose statehood because it is not convenient for the United States. The question is, why should the United States want to buy a problem like Puerto Rico's? They just have to look to Quebec or to North Ireland or to the former Soviet Union or to Yugoslavia. You know, he who tries to swallow nationalities at the end of the 20th century is bound to get indigestion, and Puerto Rico is a full-grown nationality. Besides, Puerto Rico will be...
But Congressman Romero Barcelo of the Statehood Party doesn't buy that common analogy that if Puerto Rico becomes a state, it would be like Quebec or Northern Ireland.
First of all, what is, what do you mean, Quebec or Northern Ireland? They're two different things. I mean, one thing is Quebec and one thing is Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland, the history of violence and hatred is enormous. You don't have that history of hatred and violence in Quebec, so you cannot compare the two. The Irish people did not receive public housing from England, nor food stamps, nor social security, nor training and work programs like we have from the United States. So there is a completely different relationship. There's no hatred in Puerto Rico towards the United States. Sure, there's some few lunatic fanatics on the fringes.
In this campaign for Puerto Rico's future status is the issue of securing the island's material well-being. If Puerto Rico became a state today, it would be the poorest in the nation. Each of the three formulas claims theirs is the key to improving Puerto Rico's economy, and that their opponents will be Puerto Rico's downfall. Statehood Party leader and Puerto Rico's Governor Pedro Rosselló claims statehood is the only way for Puerto Rico to compete effectively in today's economy.
History is very clear. Those groups that do not have that power of participation will always be in an inferior position, always, always. Until Puerto Rico gets that, or until Puerto Rico becomes a separate republic where it could exercise its rights in that manner, then there will be no chance for Puerto Rico to decrease the gap that has remained constant between Puerto Rico and the states.
One big question is how the phase-out of tax breaks for corporations located in Puerto Rico will affect the island's economy. Those tax exemptions under Section 936 of the IRS have been a big draw for companies until now. The question is whether companies will leave Puerto Rico if they have to start paying the taxes. Senator Hernandez Agosto of the Commonwealth Party doesn't think so.
But I firmly believe that if we reformulate a proposal on 936 and go to Congress and to the President of the United States and explain to them the importance of 936 to Puerto Rico and give assurances that companies will not abuse of these tax benefits, I think they would support that. Because it is in the best interest of the United States to have a thriving economy in Puerto Rico. We are the 10th market of the United States. We buy more from the United States than Brazil, Chile, Argentina, Peru, and Colombia combined.
The net gains and losses to Puerto Rico is just one side of the equation. The other side is what the United States stands to gain or lose from each of the three political formulas. The Congressional Budget Office estimates it would cost the United States an additional $3.6 billion annually to bring entitlement payments up if Puerto Rico became a state. That's a figure which may make some members of Congress shy away from ever making Puerto Rico a state. But that's not looking at the full picture, says statehooder Romero Barcelo.
Yeah, the Congressional Budget Office did not make the full analysis. They say what it would cost to increase the benefits if Puerto Rico becomes a state by $3.6 billion. And that is correct. It would increase the transfer payments to Puerto Rico by $3.6 billion. But at the same time, Puerto Rico will be paying to the federal government over $4 billion in income taxes. So that would be a net revenue for the Treasury. It would be a net gain for the Treasury as a state. And you might say, well, maybe it's not a good business for Puerto Rico. Well, even for Puerto Rico, it will be, because out of those $4 billion, about $3 billion will be paid by the subsidiaries of mainland companies, which are known as the 936, which don't leave this money in Puerto Rico. They take it back to the mainland. So it doesn't do anything for us here. So that's the money that would be paying a substantial amount of those taxes. Puerto Ricans would pay about $1.5 billion in taxes to begin with, until the standard of living and the level of income increases. And Puerto Rico is now poorer than any other state because precisely because we have been a territory.
But it's precisely because Puerto Ricans would have to pay federal income and other taxes that many people are against statehood, including Commonwealth Senator Hernandez Agosto.
Once we have to comply with the responsibilities of statehood, we will become a welfare state, really. We'll be depending more and more on federal aid and less in our own efforts to develop our economy. While staying as a commonwealth, we can really have special incentives which cannot be available under statehood, and through our own effort, really develop the country more than we can do under statehood.
You're listening to Common Ground. It's a service of the Stanley Foundation, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization that conducts a wide range of programs meant to provoke thought and encourage dialogue on world affairs. We're discussing Puerto Rico's political status with members of the three major political parties who support either continued Commonwealth status, statehood, or independence. In this next part of the program, we'll talk to the people of Puerto Rico. What do they want? Political commentator Juan Manuel Garcia Pasalacqua has some ideas. He served as an advisor in the Carter administration on Puerto Rican and Caribbean affairs. He also writes a column for the Miami Herald. Garcia Pasalacqua says the key issues for people are pocketbook issues, and that's why most vote either for statehood or commonwealth.
Everybody will vote on the basis of whether they will get from the United States what they're getting now. It's ironic, because obviously they're not going to be getting from the United States what they're getting now, because the United States is really in dire straits at this point. And the debt, the deficit, unemployment, and what is, to me, a depression, will prevent the United States from fulfilling the promises that the ballot is making. I'm sure none of the three definitions is going to be approved by the Congress.
Do you have any sense of what Congress might do?
Of course. I published it in the Miami Herald 5 days ago. It's going to kick the living shit out of us into the Caribbean.
And let them go?
Yes. We're costing them too much. They don't have any choice. I mean, statehood or the improvement of Commonwealth would cost $3.5 billion a year. They gave Yeltsin $1 billion only, and that's Russia. So this is it. I mean, Congress will just say, well, kids, you know, you didn't vote for statehood. You don't want to be part of us. Go to him.
At a rally for the winning Commonwealth option, I encountered several supporters who all have different reasons for their vote. For this man, Commonwealth is a compromise, but he really doesn't want to be a state because he believes the United States doesn't want Puerto Rico.
Well, how do I know? Because I was in the military for many years, and I suffer all kind of stuff there in the military. For being a Puerto Rican, for being a black, for having an accent. Three things against me. And you think that American people, they're not, the government is the best, but the people, the American people, the United States, they don't want us. They look at us like a piece of garbage. You know that. You're American yourself.
If Puerto Rico could be an independent nation but remain economically the same, would you prefer that?
Oh, sure I prefer that. Sure I prefer that.
Because of Puerto Rican identity.
That's right. You got to have your own identity. If we got, how are we going to mingle with the United States? About 4 million people mingling with 250 million. Very soon we're going to lose our language. Very soon we're going to lose our identity. Everything. We're going to lose everything. And everybody knows that. Even the people that they want statehood, they know that too. But they don't want to say it.
And this woman, who is listening to one of the many bands at the rally, is obviously voting with her pocketbook.
Well, because I lived in the United States for 18 years, the only thing I did was pay all the time, taxes all the time.
Why not independent?
Pardon me?
Why not independent?
No, I don't like the independence because I see all, you know, all the other places that, like Cuba and places like that, and they only doing like suffering and suffering all the time, and I don't think that's good for us. I don't think so.
Do you have any fears that if Puerto Rico remains a commonwealth that you'll be able to keep your U.S. citizenship?
No, I don't think, I don't have any fears, because we're going to keep it. I know that. We're going to keep the citizenship.
Well, people were clearly very passionate about their choices during the campaign. But how does this question of Puerto Rico's status affect everyday life? San Juan attorney Charles Hay Maestre, who worked several years for the Puerto Rican Civil Rights Institute, says the status question is very divisive.
Well, it creates division on several levels. And especially in the smaller towns, people, the main political parties are each identified with a status. They each have a color. They each have a symbol. And people are, if, for example, on election day you dress red, well, you are a popular, you are a popular Democratic Party supporter, you support the Commonwealth, and everybody knows everything about you immediately in that sense. There's an incredible amount of patronage that goes on, especially at the local government level and the small towns and the municipalities. The mayors of the small towns control a lot of access to both public benefits and to employment, especially in the smaller towns where unemployment is well over 20%. And party affiliation, again, is synonymous with status. The independent advocates, for example, for many, many years were persecuted on many levels, both in employment and opportunities for studying. And a lot of this was well known to those of us who are independent advocates for many years, but only became accepted by the other people of other political persuasions in Puerto Rico when the Puerto Rican Independence Party representative, David Noriega, filed a suit several years ago that uncovered 30, 40, or 50 years of government espionage against Puerto Rican independent advocates in Puerto Rico. And that lawsuit led to two decisions by the Supreme Court ruling those practices unconstitutional and ordering these files that had been compiled on people, over 100,000 files since the 1930s, to be turned over to the people who had been surveyed. So that was just proof of what we knew was going on all along. But it's not to say that discrimination doesn't occur against the other people. Whenever a party's out of power, the people who are affiliated with that party will suffer discrimination in one form or another. And as an attorney in employment discrimination context, I can tell you that in addition to sexual discrimination, which is very prevalent in Puerto Rico in the workplace, political discrimination is the other main type of discrimination that you'll find. Obviously, for obvious reasons, especially in public employment.
Political status permeates all levels of life in Puerto Rico. And voter turnout reflects this. The November plebiscite had turnout higher than for national elections on the U.S. mainland. But the results of the plebiscite are really more of a consultation with the Puerto Rican people about what they would like. The real decision lies in the hands of the U.S. Congress, whose members may know little more about this island in the possession of the U.S. than many of the American tourists I talk to.
Are you aware there's an election going on here in Puerto Rico?
Yes, you did tell us.
Do you know what the choices are here?
No, I don't. He didn't tell us.
Do you know what Puerto Rico's current relationship is with the U.S.?
No, I don't.
Do you have any opinion on what you think Puerto Rico should do?
Whatever they're doing seems to be a lot better than what we're doing.
The man this woman was referring to was her taxi driver. And what does he want for Puerto Rico?
Well, I would vote for the triangle. The triangle is a symbol representing independence.
Why do you think so few Puerto Ricans vote for independence in these elections?
Because the campaign that they are promoting on TV media and on the paper is that we are going to suffer and we are going to be like other countries, like Latin America, like Cuba, like Nicaragua, starvation, misery, poverty, and that's not true because the communists have, it's over. And we have a high standard of living here. We have a development infrastructure all around the island. And also, they're promoting food stamps and welfare. They are buying our conscience with federal funds, you know. They say vote for the statehood because more food stamps, much federal funds, much welfare, much benefits. And that's nothing, that's good because you are creating a parasite society. 4 million people like parasites.
Have you heard the expression, scratch a statehooder or scratch a commonwealth person, you'll find an independentista? Do you think that's true?
Oh, yes, because of this referendum, there will be three options. Most of the people will decide to be in the middle because that's everybody. The real solution for this has to be only two options, or inner independence or statehood, but not a middle one because this status that we are having today, I call it a limbo. You know, it's a limbo state.
Well, as people have been saying, Puerto Rico's been a colony for 500 years, and the debate about its political future is far from over. In part two of our series from Puerto Rico, we'll look more closely at the increasingly important issue of cultural identity. For this edition of Common Ground, I'm Mary Gray Davidson. If you'd like to order a cassette of this Common Ground series on Puerto Rico, you can call toll-free 1-800-767-1929. Visa and MasterCard are accepted. If you'd like more information about the Stanley Foundation or you have some comments about the program, write to us at 216 Sycamore Street, Muscatine, Iowa, 52761. Again, the toll-free number to call to order cassettes is 1-800-767-1929. Our theme music was created by B.J. Lederman. Common Ground was produced and funded by the Stanley Foundation.